Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
As I mentioned to you earlier, Tanner, I am in a bad mood because my child refused to say goodnight to me tonight.
Walk me through what happened. What was the series of events that led to him outright refusing to say goodnight to you?
We can reverse engineer it. This is like the cold case.
Okay.
I picked him up in the afternoon and took him to swim in a pool in the backyard.
Okay. In which?
Just so filling up.
He's got a lap pool and like a wading pool, or what? Swim and pool.
It's a hose fills up a plastic tub that cost me about $11, and
okay.
It is large enough to fit the child, and we call it the pool.
Okay, so it's like an ice bath, like an NBA player might go in to like ice their knees.
Yeah, but it's 110 degrees out here, so it's not really like that.
Okay,
we had a very nice time.
Okay, you got in there with him?
Yeah.
Okay,
and then I read him a couple stories, and then
The Stranger by.
Yes, The Stranger.
Camus.
And Nausea by Jean-Paul Sartre.
Yeah.
And then he watched a documentary about ocean life with his mother. And then his mother said, say goodnight to Dada.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want to.
Okay.
He screamed it. I didn't want to scream. He screamed it. He seemed upset. Okay. Yeah.
Did you say were you the bigger man? Did you say goodnight to him?
No, fuck no. Once okay. you cross me with something like that, I ain't saying goodnight to you till you're in fucking college.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I think that's good. I think you have to set some boundaries now and teach him the consequences of his action. He's never going to hear his father say I love you until he's a man grown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his fault. It's on him.
That's on him, yeah. And now it's recorded for posterity.
My son is a delight. He's so much fun to hang out with. We just have fun. We chase each other around the house all day. He's got a new favorite game where he likes to put his fingers in my mouth and I bite him.
That's lovely.
And I go, oh! And he goes,
That's pretty good. Yeah. Well, I feel better now, actually, now that I've got that off my chest. So I'm ready to podcast. I would like to say that this has been Dead Talk. Yep. I'd love to start the show, and I'm going to do that by saying hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
A podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
And I'm Jack Shepherd. And what we like to do is talk about the Babysitter's Club extended universe.
Yes.
The Babysitter's Club narrative universe.
BSCCU.
The BSCCU.
The Babysitter's Club Cinematic Universe.
That's right. And this week we're going to be talking about, as we have been the last couple of weeks, the Babysitter's Club Netflix show by the Hand of God, Rachel Schuchert.
Yes, the Hand of God and the new ghostwriter.
Oh, yes.
And we can debut her now or we can debut her later. I don't know what you want to do.
I'd love to say the name of the show is what I like to do and that before we do anything.
You said the Netflix... The Netflix
episode
Club show.
Episode.
Okay.
And this week we're going to be discussing episode number 3 of the new Netflix show, Babysitter's Club, season 1, episode 3, The Truth About Stacy.
Good episode. Very good. And you did a great job. New ghostwriter who we shan't be naming yet, it sounds like.
No, we can now. Joanna Callow.
Joanna Callow, welcome to the Pantheon.
Yes.
Joanna Joanna Callow, the Shuai Yan.
Of course, yes, and she did put a reference to that in the film, didn't she? Christy this week is my baller of the week. Because the babysitter's agency comes after her, and she immediately like checks the Art of War out of the library.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Joanna was signaling pretty heavily to us that she wants her ghostwriter epithet to be the Shuai Yan, which is the snake that strikes from both ends.
Okay, so there's the snake called the Shuai Yan. And if you hit the Shuai Yan in the head, then its tail will attack you. But if you strike the tail, its head will attack you. And if you strike it right in the middle, both sides will come at you.
Hell yes. The skillful tactician may be likened to the Shuai Yan. It's found in the Chinese mountains, and it's known for its rapidity of movement. And that's right. If you strike its tail, it'll attack you with its head. If you strike its middle, it'll attack you with the head and the tail.
Right. Here's the thing about and I hate to dunk on Sun Tzu.
Okay.
But I'm going to.
Be very careful.
I don't think I'm afraid of a snake's tail. Because as far as I know, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of a snake's middle. I think Sun Tzu is introducing more parts of the snake than there are parts of the snake to be afraid of.
Right.
Like, he's asking us to buy this premise that, like the snake has three scary parts: the mouth with its fangs and poisonous tongue, and the fucking middle part, and then also the tail.
And the tail, which is just like a snake tail.
Yeah. And I don't know if we have any snake scientists listening, but it's the tongue that's poisonous, right?
And snake scientists, is the tail or the middle dangerous in any way?
Yeah. What's dangerous about the middle of the snake?
I guess if it's like a constrictor, right, the middle could be dangerous because it could get around your neck and choke you out.
But it's striking you.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to have to ask Joanna. What else do we know about Joanna? She's coming in pretty hot, asking us to call her this like scary snake from the Art of War.
Yeah. I did do a little research on her. She's a writer.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
She's a producer.
Okay.
She's written several episodes of a show called BoJack Horseman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I know about BoJack Horseman. That was the show that I watched during the first year when my child didn't sleep ever at any time. And so I watched all of that show from the hours of like 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. So I have like a very complicated Stockholm syndrome relationship with that show, which is good.
I hear it's good. She was the producer of a show called Girl Boss. So it's a natural fit for her to be writing for the Babysitter's Club TV show, because they're
which
all
is about
bosses.
Girl bosses. And it says on her Twitter page, writer, comma, human, which, okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, right.
We know from past experience,
human?
If
Sorry,
you have
you
to
mean,
advertise it.
Do you mean snake that strikes from two sides?
Yes.
Shuai Yan.
She did a good job of this one. Oh, you know what I'm realizing, Tanner? I wasn't going to bring this up, but at the 11 minute and 40 second mark of this film, Stacy McGill is shown taking a bite out of an apple. So we've had a lot of Garden of Eden stuff referred to in...
Even been fucking introduced yet, and you're already finding biblical allegories throughout these episodes.
Exactly. Well, I think that they've been hitting this Garden of Eden stuff pretty hard, because I guess it's like this transitional time between innocence and experience where they're like facing the world, and that's what Garden of Eden mythology can represent. But mm-hmm. the introduction of the snake here as well really adds a different element.
Yeah.
The Shuai Yan.
The Shuai Yan.
So that's something to think about, and it's something to keep our eyes on. I do think we should describe this video novel.
Yes, welcome to the Pantheon, Joanna Callow, the Shuai Yan.
The Shuai Yan.
You are in such storied circles as Rachel Shuchert, the Hand of God, whom we will be hearing from a little bit later today.
Oh, yeah, we're going to...
We have a guest. We forgot to mention we have a guest.
Should have said at the beginning. At the end of this episode, before we say goodbye, but after we've said everything else, that came out well. I felt like that came out well. We're going to be speaking with the Hand of God.
The hand of God came down from whatever golden altar she exists on in the heavens, in the celestial spheres.
Yeah.
And
became corporeal.
Granted us a little bit of time.
Yeah.
She became corporeal in the form of a mighty bull.
Mm-hmm.
And granted us some time to speak with her about a number of topics.
I mean, I would say she granted us some time for her to make pronouncements while we just sort of like stood in awe.
In awe and glory.
Yeah. It was cool. It's a good little chat we had, and it's going to be at the end of this episode.
Yes.
Not at the end. Again, not at the end.
Not at the end, but at some
before
point.
Before we say goodbye, after we've said everything else. Perfect.
It just, it's very nice. It's like one of those phrases that just reads well and sounds nice.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like it could be a like a Blink 182 album title or something, you know?
Before we say goodbye, but after we've said everything else.
Yeah.
There's something. Yeah.
Maybe like Taking Back Sunday.
Oh, you know what it is? It's a brand new, this is a deep cut, but that is a brand new song title. What I'd love to do is, well, can I admit something?
One sec.
Okay.
Can you, I was going to surprise him, but can you come in here?
What?
Jack, I just want to really quickly, one sec.
Okay.
Yeah, come in.
Who are you, he's signaling to someone outside the door, it seems like.
You're guessing the mystery.
Thank you, Liz, for playing the theme song to Guessing the Mystery.
Oh. Beautiful, Liz. I didn't recognize you.
Thank you, Liz. This was a surprise, Guessing the Mystery, and I did guess the mystery.
Yeah.
Clear back in diabetes. Episode one. Nope. When you and I discussed this young woman all in beige with a hat who takes a flyer from Stacy in episode one and makes a face, and
Lacey.
I said, I bet that woman who took that flyer is from the babysitting agency.
Wait,
and
for
guess
real?
Guess what, Jack
Is that the
Shepherd?
Same actor?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Lacey. That was Lacey.
Yes.
How come no one told us that?
I'm telling you now that I guess the mystery clear back in episode one of this limited
So
run
that's
series.
Why she made an expression like, yes, nailed it.
Yes.
Wow. Are you sure? So
yes.
She's caught red-handed.
Yes.
Because what Lacey says.
For the eagle-eyed viewer, yes, she is caught red-handed.
Here's what Lacey says. When Stacy, I think quite bravely, confronts her, Lacey Lewis of the Babysitter's Agency says,
ugh, sue me, or don't. Ideas aren't intellectual property. I'm doing the club, and I'm doing it better. I don't have a curfew, and I can drive myself wherever. Welcome to the free market.
Excuse me?
Ring, ring.
Oh, no. Hang on, dinner. My phone is ringing. Do you mind if I get this?
I would pick it up. Yeah, it is annoying for me.
Yeah.
That you have interrupted the podcast by answering your phone. But ring, ring.
It's actually okay. I was going to say it stopped, but it does. It is still ringing.
Ring, ring.
Somewhat erratically. Maybe I'll let it go to voicemail.
No, I you can grab it if you want. Ring, ring.
Okay. Hello. Hey, it's Jack.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Did you say
you must have
Jack?
The wrong number.
Oh, okay. I'm looking for Mark Markson.
Oh.
This is Goliath Hardbody.
You know what? I think I can
from Hardbody Industries.
I've heard of you. I could probably patch him in.
Okay. You get this a lot. Your numbers must be very close.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna patch him in. Because I actually I'm in the middle of recording a podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You get back to your podcast. I'll talk to Mark.
Stand by for Mark Markson.
Okay.
Hello?
Mark.
Oh, Goliath. I've been
Goliath.
Waiting for you. Yeah.
I'm in a lot of hot water here.
Okay.
And I need your business savvy.
Okay.
I got into a bit of an IP dispute with a young woman named Lacey Son. I don't remember her name.
Not Lacey Lewis, I hope.
Lacey Lewis, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty heated legal battle between Lacey Lewis at the Babysitter's Club Agency and Hardbody Industries, my conglomerate corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Got my best lawyers on it, such as She-Hulk, who's one of my lawyers.
Okay.
And Daredevil.
Okay, wow, okay.
And other comic book heroes who are lawyers.
Right. I was just going to say, thinking about IP, for a babysitting agency, now don't take this the wrong way, but is it possible that the babysitter's agency is better situated to take advantage of the market than Hardbody Industries, just given the name?
What do you mean? You think it's a branding thing?
Well, I think babysitter's agency really kind of tells a story. Whereas Hardbody Industries, I mean, it projects strength.
Hardbody Industries has a reputation and a legacy that people have come to really trust.
Yeah.
In a number of spaces, across a number of industries, including the babysitting industry.
Right. Okay, you're right.
So I don't really understand where this is coming from, and also why didn't you raise it earlier?
Yeah.
Do you think we need to pivot?
My
concern is I'm spending millions of dollars on these attorneys who are in the courts every day fighting Lacey Lewis because she claims that ideas are not intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I sort of had cornered the market on
a babysitter's club.
Babysitting. Yeah, like a babysitter's conglomerate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I spoke with her, she very smugly said to me, "Welcome to the free market." And I'm
that's gotta
not
stick.
Sure what that means. Yeah.
Here's
what I'm thinking about doing, if I can. I'm thinking about, through a series of shell companies, buying her company, the Babysitter's Club Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Converting it to maybe like a pig farm or like one of those companies that rents out porta-johns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking, I'm not going to lie, Mark Markson.
Yeah.
We're business savvy adult professional men.
Mm-hmm.
That's the segment and that's the bit.
Mm-hmm.
The babysitting part of Goliath Hardbody Industries is kind of a loss leader.
I hadn't been meaning to bring this up, but since you do, as a professional businessman and graduate of an extremely impressive business school.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, that's what it's called, EIBS.
Yeah.
With an MBA from EIBS. $9.95 an hour to look after people's kids has not been the best use of my time. And I just assumed that it was helping the company.
Oh, no. You charge that on top of your salary?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, welcome to the free market.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we should be worried about this Lacey. It sounds like she doesn't have a curfew and she can drive herself wherever.
Jesus.
Yeah, that feels like a threat, doesn't it?
I can't even do that. I have my driver drive me. And sometimes he's unavailable. We're in a lot of hot water here. I'm going to get She-Hulk and Daredevil on this.
Hang on. I've got someone on the other line.
Okay.
Okay. It's a guy called Jack Shepard.
Shit-Hurt?
Says he is trying to do a podcast, but we're tying up the phone line somehow.
Okay. How you been, Mark? I'm worried about you. Just before we go.
Difficult to know, honestly, where I am in life. I join the Navy.
Okay. Yeah. And Dave?
Missing all these years.
Okay. So you've really placed us in the canon then. I'm going to let you go.
Okay. Well, welcome to the free market.
Welcome to the free market. And scene.
Tanner?
Yes, Jack.
What I'd love is to, again, I was going to admit this to you and then we were interrupted. I'm nervous about describing this novel. Video novel, because
video
did forget most of what happens in it.
Did you just watch it yesterday?
Now, yesterday, yeah.
I'll tell you what happens.
No,
it is your turn, though.
Yeah, put 60 seconds on a big bad clock, and I'll do my damn best. No, I don't want you playing, guys. I swear to God, I don't want you playing cool math games.
Okay, it's not loading.
Okay, that's what happened last time. Can you just find a 60-second timer?
I guess.
Or just time it out in your head.
It's just so lifeless. Let me find like an old-fashioned sand timer. 60-second.
Sure.
What do you call those? Hourglass.
Hourglass. That's fine. But pay attention to me and don't spend the whole time just watching the fucking hourglass.
Ooh, should I order one? I'm going to
order
one. No! In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, there's a babysitter's agency in town, and they're taking up all the good jobs. And Stacy confronts them, and Christy's really worried about it because they have this like really slickly produced ad that all
so
the kids
good.
Are watching.
Their on sizzle,
their phones. They've got this great sizzle reel, Stacy confronts the leader of the agency, and she's like, this was our idea. And then the leader, Lacey, is like, the IP, something about IP. We've talked a lot about it. And so they go to war with the babysitter's agency. And then a problem does happen because Stacy's dealing with increasing trouble with her diabetes. And the babysitter's agency gets their hands on a viral video that Lane Cummings and others in New York had circulated of Stacy having a diabetic attack, and the babysitter's agency say, does anyone want a babysitter like this? And
you're
the
out of time.
Implied answer is no, but the actual answer is yes.
You're out of time. You missed so much. Lacey Lewis, I want to say her name is.
Yeah, we said it a lot already.
It lets Jamie Newton play in the street and almost die.
Oh, she does a bad job.
She's got this very cool boyfriend who does freestyle rapping, and I loved him.
So the cool boyfriend, you know what he reminds me of very specifically? Is it might be before your time, but there's a famous Simpsons episode where Jimbo Jones is like over and putting the moves on his girlfriend, and he keeps going, now my pants are chafing me.
Hey, baby, my shirt's chafing me. Mind if I take it off?
Well, okay.
I don't believe it. Now my pants are chafing me.
Do you know that one?
No, I don't remember.
But he's dressed exactly like it. He's got this, like, beanie on his head.
Yeah, I remember Jimbo Jones.
This guy is so fucking cool.
He's
cool. So cool, and he does
a really bad rap.
The rap is awesome. Stacy comes in, and she's like, hey, we found Jamie Newton in the fucking street. Literally playing in traffic.
Playing chicken with cars.
And Lacey's like, well, he seems fine to me.
Yeah.
Because Jamie's like, she told me to go play in traffic. And then the Jimbo Jones dude just like is completely unaffected by it, and he's like kind of like half making out with Lacey anyway. And he goes,
kid shouldn't trespass. You're gonna get a hall pass or a Disneyland fast pass, or you're gonna get a head slap.
Yeah.
Christy's like, that doesn't even fucking rhyme, dude.
Yes, it does. It's a slant rhyme.
It rules. And Christy, you're wrong. And that guy,
he is cool as hell. Yeah. Interesting casting choice on Jamie Newton.
Yeah. I would
have
thought
to look a lot more like Football Man Cam Newton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also interesting casting choice on naming Cam Newton's mom Kim Newton.
Is Jamie Newton's mom named Kim Newton?
Yeah, they keep calling her Kim.
Okay, so that's...
Why would you name Cam Newton's mom... Or I guess, why would Kim Newton name her son Cam?
Kim and Cam, that's lovely.
He didn't look anything like Cam Newton.
No,
it was like a young boy.
Yeah, at his throwing arm, deeply unimpressive.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
Yeah, so that's a casting mistake, I think. It would have been so cool to get... what's Cam Newton doing anyway? I think he went to the Patriots, actually. Maybe that's why he's busy. He couldn't take the role.
Well, no one's playing football right now anyway. Nothing's happening. Cam Newton could have come and done this.
Yeah.
They made so many interesting choices about the characters this week.
Yeah.
Joanna and Anne and Walden Greedia.
And Rachel.
and Rachel.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised what they did with Stacy.
Okay.
So she's got a new thing. So she's still got her old things, which is that she's from New York and she has diabetes.
Yeah.
But they've given her a new thing, which is that she is a space marine.
Oh, you know what? I did miss that.
From Warhammer 40K.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think I missed that part.
And she's sort of got these body augments.
Okay.
Where they've kind of latched these mechanisms and machines right into her flesh, like a space marine.
That's cool. And what is that for? To fight the...
To augment their physical abilities and to... what do you call it when you take a little bit of flesh from one part of your body and put it on another part of your body?
Inadvisable?
No. graft. And they kind of... grafted this. So the space marines, they graft armor under their bodies,
okay,
and they give them like special augmentations to help them in battle, and I think that's what they've done here. And the whole process is pretty traumatic, I think, to these young, I think they're called Astartes,
okay,
men.
Mm-hmm.
When they implant the gene seed into them and transform their bodies and give them superhuman abilities. And I think what we saw in the video that Lacey Lewis shares,
mm-hmm,
is Stacy undergoing this gene seed process.
Okay, in order to become a space marine. I think that, you know, these video novels are not set in the 80s. They're set in the indeterminate near future. And so it makes sense to introduce sort of space technology and space fighting and space marines, and who better to do it with than a character like Stacy, who previously only had two things and could frankly use at least a third thing.
Yeah, and now the third thing is that she's kind of got this augmented body and she's becoming a space marine.
And it's cool.
It's really endeared her to me, I like it. Did you also, and I have another segment very quickly, if you'll indulge me.
Sure.
It's called Dad Watch.
Okay. Yeah.
And each week...
What dad do we meet? Oh, we met Ed this week.
Ed. Yeah, and this is about Ed.
Yeah.
At the 3:20 mark, Stacy is revealing her body augments to us in a in a changing room, and she's trying on outfits with her mom, Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, Maureen says...
Although we do have to hurry up and meet your dad at the Foot Locker.
Okay, so
Ed works the implication is Ed works at Foot Locker.
That's a choice.
In this universe, Ed is no longer a high-powered attorney in New York.
He's a high-powered shoe salesman.
He's a high-powered shoe salesman in Stony Brook. Yeah, at Foot Locker.
That's cool. I like that. I like that choice. Yeah. It was interesting to see. Maureen and Stacy were dressed as twins this week.
That's cute. I like that. I try to dress like Jamie as much as I can when we're going out to see people. I'll try to match my outfit to her, and she hates it.
I tried for a long time to get you to coordinate outfits with me at work.
I was always willing, I think.
You only would do it a couple days in a row, and...
A couple days in a row is pretty fucking generous, Jack.
No, for the joke to work... We would need to do it for like a month and never acknowledge it.
I don't think we have that many outfits in common.
We could only wear
black band t-shirts and jorts, and I only wear J. Crew button downs and
I would have if you had shown a little bit more zest for it, I would have committed to the bit and like gone to J. Crew or something. We could have made it work. If we had showed up every day, and then the joke would just be like every time people would be like, did you guys coordinate? And we'd be like, wait, what do you mean? Oh my God.
Oh.
It happened again. But you didn't.
Know who that did accidentally happen with all the time is our theme song singer, Scott Lamb. He and I used to essentially dress the exact same every
single
day.
Just because you're old, out of touch man. That's different. That's expected.
Look who's talking, Mr. What's the band t-shirt you're wearing today?
It's Advanced Bass. Do you know the band Cassio Tone for the Painfully Alone? He later went on to do a band which is also exactly the same band, which is just him and a fucking like Cassio Tone, but he called it Advanced Bass.
No, I don't know either.
That's both are cool to listen to, and it's very cool that I listened to both those bands.
I think my shirt that I'm wearing today is from The Gap.
Yeah, it would have been hard for us to coordinate. I'm realizing that. I do think we probably should take a little break.
Okay, I was going to maybe say we should just throw to break before we go to Rachel.
Here's what we should do is we record a full episode where we say all of the things except goodbye. Okay. Then we throw to Rachel, and then we say goodbye.
Okay.
It's like a Blink 182 album title almost, isn't it?
Throw to Rachel and say goodbye. Okay, goodbye, Jack.
Okay, goodbye. I'll see you in a minute.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tanner, we have an awful lot to get through in a very little amount of time. So yes. I would appreciate your indulgence and your attention. Okay. What I would
just walked out into the other room.
Okay, perfect. Exactly what I didn't want.
On a break.
Yeah.
And my wife, who claims to love me
and
respect me.
I've heard her say it in front of a officer of the peace, which was me, because I was officiating.
Was watching the Babysitter's Club Netflix show.
Okay, already kind of a slight against you.
And was watching ahead.
What?
I think she grew intolerant of me constantly pausing the show to take notes and like write little jokes to myself and like laugh to myself. that'll be funny to say on the show. And now she's just watching it without me. She's watching ahead.
That's fucking outrageous. And during your podcast too, when she
during
she
my
knows,
podcast,
that is so upsetting. Did she seem sheepish?
She seemed brazen. She seemed belligerent.
Okay, she's doing it at you. She's watching it at you.
I think
that's
so
tough. I'm sorry to hear that, man. My wife was cooking a vegan flatbread with summer squash.
Jesus.
When I went out to take a break. And waiting until I'm done so that we can share a movie together.
What a fucking beautiful domestic life you live.
Yeah. Tanner, I would love to talk about agency and determinism in this video novel.
Okay.
We've talked about this a little bit before in the
Heidegger. Party. You're not going to talk about Heidegger, are you?
I'm not. You told me I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, he's canceled.
I was going to talk about Althusser, but he's fucking canceled too.
They're all canceled.
Listen, this video novel is a fascinating comment in many ways on the concept of agency. And it comes about especially in relation to phone.
Agency, Babysitter's Club agency.
Right. It's a clever play on words.
Yeah.
The phone, which if you remember from the Claudia and the Phantom phone calls episode, had been a symbol of randomness, of chaos, sort of negative determinism via failed communicative act, which is what the Phantom phone caller was, is now deployed in this video novel to affirm the notion of personal agency. Do you remember the moment in this video novel? It's at 7:10, so if you don't remember it, I can fucking refresh your memory. Someone calls the Babysitter's Club phone and says, agency.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So that's fascinating. It's kind of turning this concept on its head. This sort of failed communicative act of the previous episode has been converted into this idea that we all maybe do have personal agency, that for the Babysitter's Club to thrive, for any of us to thrive, we need to exert agency, and that determinism is a dangerous way of looking at the world. And in fact, what we should do is embrace our freedom, embrace our agency, embrace our free will.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What decision led you to recording a podcast with me tonight?
It's just kind of how we've always done it.
And what decision led to that decision?
The original decision was I broke the fucking mold.
And what decision led to that decision? And do you see where I'm going with this? Every decision is caused by a decision before it. And if we can go back endlessly with a series of decisions, back through the echoes of time to the very beginning, to the Big Bang, to God reaching down and giving life to the universe, every decision has led to another decision after that, and now we're in this moment here, Jack, and we're just in the middle of a series of decisions and outcomes.
I understand.
And we're all guided along a cosmic path by a series of decisions and outcomes, and there is no such thing as free will.
I do understand what you're saying. I get it. I've heard this. But I'm not here to debate determinism with you. Very specific.
We have no agency.
No.
We have no free will.
I don't want to make a pronouncement on that topic. We're not here to do that. We're here to talk about how this video text addresses it. And this video text is taking a more affirmative view, one of agency. But
strong
you could
disagree.
Say, you know what you could say.
Remember how the episode opened, Jack?
Yeah.
A decision was made. To start a Babysitter's Club. A decision was made to print flyers. A decision was made to hand out
those
flyers.
Chain of determinism.
And a decision was made to hand one to a young woman all in beige.
Yeah.
And now we have the agency. And there is no agency.
Right.
It's all
isn't that
predetermined.
An interesting paradox? Yeah. Okay. And that is interesting. And that's what the what's the snake called?
The Shuaiyan.
That's what she wants us to think about. She's got us all wrapped up in it. Here's something else she's got us wrapped up in, Tanner. Did you notice this? At the 2 minute and 10 second mark, the clock on Claudia's shelf is shown briefly. You know what time it says?
6:59. That doesn't make any sense.
3:42. So that's significant. Because the Babysitter's Club meetings, as you and I know, are from 5:30 to 6.
Yeah.
Well, and there is a Bible passage.
And there is a Bible passage. Yes.
Lamentations 3:42. We have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven.
We have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. Who are they talking about? You have not forgiven.
Well, so who's the we in this case? Because I want. There is no way that Rachel and Joanna would make the mistake. They're showing us this clock, and we know what time it is because it's a Babysitter's Club meeting. It is somewhere between 5:30 on the fucking dot and 6 on the dot. Christy runs a tight ship.
Yeah.
So the fact that it says 3:42 on Claudia's clock is clearly of significance.
Yeah, they're pointing us to something. They and want us to notice that.
But who has sinned and who has rebelled and who has not forgiven? Is it Anne?
Maybe it's us. I don't know if we're the sinners and the rebels.
Yeah.
Or if we're the one who are offering or withholding forgiveness.
Yeah.
And maybe the girls or maybe Rachel and Joanna have sinned. It's so hard to say.
Yeah, and this is back to the Garden of Eden stuff, isn't it? It's back to the fucking snake in the garden.
And you know what? I'm inserting us into this narrative.
Yeah.
We are like two mythical animals who didn't make the ark.
Right.
We are so insignificant in the grand scheme of things and forgotten by time.
Because they haven't put us on the show yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a couple of dodo birds who got on late.
And I think maybe the rebels are Joanna and Rachel, and the one who was doling out forgiveness is Anne.
Right.
And we're not even a part of this equation yet.
I think that's right. So it's a message for Anne. It's Rachel. We is Rachel, because now it's we, right? Before it was just I. It was the hand of God. Yep. But now it's the hand of God and the Shui Yan, right? So now it's finally we. And they have sinned and rebelled by creating this unauthorized. You know what it is? Fucking hell. That's what Lacey says, right? It could be a message of defiance to Anne. Hey, I took your idea and I did it better. Welcome to the free market. If you're Anne and you see that, what are you thinking? About a Netflix show about your idea, about your IP?
I'd be pissing my pants.
I'd be pissing my pants. Or if I was, would you really? Okay, because yeah. I think you should try to put yourself in. I'm thinking of Anne as being a pretty powerful player in this equation. You think it's still scary.
Oh, no, sorry, pissing my pants with just out of...
with sorry, rage.
Pissing my pants because I'm so rich from having made so much money off the Netflix show that I can just go through pants like okay. It's nothing.
Okay.
I'm not going to go to the bathroom. No, I'm just going to go right in my pants.
Okay.
I'll just get a new pair of pants. All of my butlers come put a new pair of pants on me.
Okay.
Because I'm so rich.
Yeah. We may have to ban you from putting yourself in Anne's shoes just in general. On the show.
That's because
we've had two treatments. Both yeah. of them I think are not quite right. I think about it this way. Just follow me down this path for a second. They say this to Anne through Lacey. Hey Anne, we defy you. We took your idea and we did it better. And welcome then 10 minutes later, they send us a clear signal with a clock that says essentially, we have sinned and rebelled and you have not forgiven. They're fucking terrified of her.
Yeah.
They're terrified.
Yeah. God, it would have been great to... It would have been... And I think later this episode, we should talk to Rachel about this. If we remember.
Okay, that's
to.
Great. And I...
Don't you Tanner,
as you know, we've already recorded her interview with
We
Rachel,
should bring so this up with Rachel later when we talk
to her. Too late
to
bring it up. And if sure. we don't, it's because we're cowards.
Jack, 6 minute, 30 second mark.
Okay.
The girls are headed into the park to do some marketing. Hand out flyers. Mm-hmm. For the Babysitter's Club. Mm-hmm. Imagine their surprise when they see that there are some parents doing yoga in the park and they're already fully kitted out with Babysitter's Club agency gear.
Thermoses and totes.
Hats, totes. Yeah,
they look dope. I really wanted one of those hats.
It's a nice logo.
Yeah.
Jack!
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have
played this fucking role. Yoga dad?
Yeah.
There's sort of a middle-aged man there. He's doing yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been me.
Yeah. Okay. You could have been a yoga dad. Can you do, like, warrior?
You tell me, bud.
Okay. He's doing it. I'm very worried that he's going to throw out his back. And no is the answer.
My back actually is thrown out right now from having lifted miles up yesterday in kind of a funny way.
Okay.
So I don't actually can't do warrior right now, but I think no. I probably could.
What you did was like I've seen what warrior is, and that's not it. What I'll describe it as is like someone who like in their youth could do the splits and thought they might try it after like 30 years and immediately gave up. Like yeah. Like
my back is literally quite like thrown out right now. Like I'm in agony.
Yeah.
Yeah. From lifting miles in a funny way yesterday. Yeah. 1 minute later, Jack, 7 minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Jack could have played this fucking role.
Okay, because I've got one for myself, but I'm interested in your pitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my pitch.
Yeah.
The Babysitter's Club agency keeps sending the babysitters on bogus babysitting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to say that in my recap. It's very funny. They like they set up babysitting missions for like people who don't want it. Like
Marianne shows up to a house and there's a man, an old man there, and he says he can change his depends on his own. And I think...
You think I could have done that?
I don't need my depends changed. I can do it myself.
Walden Greedia.
Okay.
Cast us in this show. I could have been Yoga Dad, fit, young, handsome, doing the warrior pose confidently. Jack could have easily played this decrepit old man who doesn't need his adult diapers changed by
because I'm
woman.
Such a talented actor.
Yeah, and older than me.
Yeah, okay. Here's the role that I want.
Significantly older than me.
And I'm aware that this role may possibly, just knowing how you operate, I'm aware that this role may transgress into one of our segments. So you can tell me after I say it if it has. But it's one of my favorite moments in the video novel. Christy has persuaded all of the girls to wear like sandwich boards.
Yes.
And bang kettlebells. This happens in the book too, as they like walk around advertising the Babysitter's Club to try to contradict the Babysitter's Club agency. And at the 12 minute and 35 second mark, a car drives past, screeches to a halt, and a girl rolls down the window and pokes her head out and says, "You look stupid."
Yeah.
I think I could. I went so far as to like try a bunch of different treatments.
Okay. Can we hear some of them?
Yeah. "You look stupid." That's good.
It's I'm going to reserve judgment. I want to hear a few more.
And here's one that's kind of more questioning. "You look stupid." What do you think of that?
I don't love questioning, I'll be honest. Can I hear angrier?
"You look stupid."
That's good.
That's angry.
Yeah. Here's something I know about you, Jack.
Yeah.
You have a lot of respect for the social contract. If anyone approaches you on the street and tries to talk to you or engage with you in any way, you literally flat out ignore them.
That is true.
To the point that it's like rude.
It's pretty awkward if you're with
and me. It becomes awkward. And I know that if anyone was walking down the street with sandwich boards advertising their Babysitter's Club, you would ignore them.
If it were teens, I wouldn't.
Because it's part of... Okay, so you're saying you would call
them stupid?
If
it were wholesome
teens...
No, I'm...
So I'm saying you're wrong for this role. We've got a good role for you, though. It's old man who can change his own diapers.
Fine. That's fine. Okay, here's one. It's a hot segment of ours. Okay. It's called our...
Strike against the Patriots!
Yes!
And there's a big one. It's Christy.
Oh, wow. I have a strike against patriarchy who's a different character.
Okay, here's mine. Batgirl is showing off her ring. Christy says, "Ooh, Mom, what is that?" Batgirl goes, "Oh, this? Watson had his family ring size for me. It's something, isn't it?" Christy says,
"Frankly, I don't see why you need it to signify you're taken. Like, property. What's next? Are you going to start walking behind him all the time?"
That's funny. That's funny. And then she says, "Yeah, I want you to go further and refer to me as of Watson." From
yeah,
now
it's
on.
Very funny. Batgirl's good in this show, and she's very funny.
It. Yeah, she's very funny.
Jack,
yeah,
you should support women.
Okay,
when one of us succeeds, we all succeed.
Oh yeah, okay.
You remember who said? You remember who? What strong girl boss female character said that?
Lily,
Lacey.
Lacey. Forgot her name.
Lewis.
You know why? Because I was thinking of Lily Ledbetter. And what's more girl boss than to think about that while we're talking about taking down the patriarchy? So look who's the asshole now.
Stacey goes and confronts Lacey. And Lacey, the first, she's like, "Hey, you stole this idea from us." And Lacey, the first thing Lacey says is, "You should support women. When one of us succeeds, we all succeed." And I was just like,
it's very good. Right. It's very funny. I really loved it. That's good.
That was my strike against the patriarchy.
They took
I just want to talk about this in the context of another segment. I want to talk about this other segment in the context of what we call it. The segment is called hashtag swoon. They're trying to set us up to be hashtag swoon over Sam.
Yeah.
But Stacy literally says at the end of their interaction, Sam shows up and he's like playing a fucking bass riff. He just like pops his head in. He's like,
hey, listen to
you
this.
You got a bunch of your girlfriends over? I'm playing boom, a bass boom, riff. I'm boom, working on this boom, bass
boom,
riff.
Boom, boom,
And then Stacy gets pretty hot under the collar, and then later she says, I wasn't swooning over Sam. My blood sugar was dropping. So okay. She does say almost
hashtag blood sugar.
Literally, but she almost says hashtag swoon. I feel like you've taken me to task for saying that the teens don't say that, but here's a literal teen
influencer.
She didn't
say hashtag swoon. She said, I'm swooning over him, but it's actually
hashtag
blood
is
sugar.
Implied.
So it sounds like it's
often
maybe
with teens, hashtag blood sugar. Implied.
In that same moment, Jack, when Sam pops his head in to say hello to the girls and show off his Indigata Davida baseline.
Yeah.
He says what I think is probably the best.
Yeah.
Stacy is flummoxed by his dreaminess and is searching for something to say. And she says, oh, you're in high school, right? Do you know the girls from the Babysitter's Club agency? And he says, oh, yeah, I think I know them. They like did that commercial. It was really good.
Yeah.
And Christy was like, Sam, they stole that idea from us. We're a Babysitter's Club. And the burn that Sam says at the 10-minute, 50-second mark is...
That's what your club is? I thought you just sat around and talked about babies, you know.
Which That's is good. An understandable mistake.
Yeah.
And a good burn.
It's a very funny, and I'm realizing it's kind of a burn on us, because we're the Babysitter's Club, and often all we do is just sit around and talk about our babies.
Sit around and talk about babies.
God damn it.
And how
a fucking nightmare.
Young men are, yeah.
Yeah, Sam's cool. I like Sam in this. Can I say my burn?
Please.
It's actually kind of a burn on Sam. So
okay.
Turnabout is fair play. Christy says to Marianne at the 2-minute mark,
Marianne, why do I love going over to your house so much?
And Marianne says,
because it doesn't smell like a teenage boy.
They smell.
That's good.
Charlie and Sam smell bad.
Yeah, it's also like a burn on Batgirl for like keeping a smelly house.
Well, she's a busy woman.
Yeah.
And she's about to abandon this house.
Yeah.
She's about to move into
this
mansion.
She's fucking burning to the ground.
Yeah.
We're going to have
to... We have to talk about the end of this episode because it was so moving and so touching.
Okay.
And I know
and
we're pressed for time. We have to get over to Rachel. But...
Yeah.
Or sorry, the hand of God. But...
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
Yeah, you fucking bet I did. Here's how I wrote it down. I didn't want to write down the lyrics. Is that what you call it when you do screenwriting? We should ask Rachel that.
Yeah, let's make sure to ask Rachel that.
Or just make sure to say a lyric so she knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I just wrote down the sequence of events, and here's what I've written that genuinely made me fucking cry. When they're all supportive of Stacy, that made me cry. And then specifically when Mrs. Johansson supports Stacy in front of the crazy parents.
In this version of the Babysitter's Club, Charlotte Johansson has two moms.
Yes. So there's we will have to differentiate Johansson's from one another. One of them is a
doctor.
One of them is a teacher at the school.
And the doctor is named Peggy.
Peggy. Okay.
She said her name.
Peggy Johansson. So the girls support Stacy. Stacy's like, oh, I didn't think you were going to be friends with me anymore once you saw the viral video of me having a diabetic attack and I guess joining the Space Marines.
Gene seed implant. Yeah. 22 different bionic implants they put into Space Marines. They put a second heart in them.
But, wow, that's cool.
It's a pretty traumatic reaction.
But the girls are supportive of her. They're like, no, we're worried about you. And Christy's like, I have, like, plenty of people who have diabetes in my life. It's not a big deal. We care about you. And that made me fucking cry. And then they have this, like, parents meeting where all the parents of Stony Brook show up in Batgirl's house. Mm-hmm. Or I guess, no, it's Maureen's. They show up in Maureen's house. And they're not great. They're like very Stony Brook parents.
Some of them are fine.
Like,
some of them
should
are like,
be. I am worried. What if she has a diabetic attack while she's looking after my child? And it's like, come on, fuck.
people. But yeah. Peggy stands up and is like, hey, I'm a doctor. And like, this is cool. And not only is it cool, but Stacy's like incredibly responsible about it. And that makes
more responsible than most kids because she has to manage her illness at the same time.
Yeah. And then all of the parents become supportive of Stacy. And then that was the third time that I cried.
Yeah. And then the time I cried was just a second later.
Yeah.
Where Stacy is recapping the events and she says,
that was when I realized I belonged. Not just to the club, to something bigger. A community. And they liked me just the way I was.
That's nice.
And she, of course, is talking about the Imperium of Man.
Yeah, the Space Marines.
A collection of a million planets spanning tens of thousands of years across the cosmos, united under one emperor and one flag.
Isn't the emperor dead?
He's not dead. He's in a death-like state. But okay. He's kept alive by the sacrifice of 3,000 living human beings every okay. single day.
Are you impressed that I know that?
You and I have talked about it in relation to this.
That's just from listening to my own podcast. new baby bees. We're not going to tell you why you're bees, but we will tell you that the Babysitter's Club series has a lot of cross-pollination with the Warhammer 40K narrative universe.
Yeah, shared universe with Warhammer 40K, sort of the grim, dark universe.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. On that note, we're going to throw to our interview
with Rachel. Oh, we should make sure to ask Rachel about that.
Okay, that's perfect. And I'll remind you, we have already spoken to her, so it's unlikely. I'm not promising that we will. I'll do my best. Here's our interview with the Hand of God, Rachel Schuchert. We'll be back to say goodbye. I was trying to think, Tanner, I was saying to you we should do it like they do it on Pod Save America. I'm realizing now, because I think that's good. They're like, now here's our interview, and then they do come back and do like an outro. I don't think they say, we'll be back to say goodbye. It's like, and now Joe Biden's campaign manager, Jen O'Malley Dillon, we'll be back to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
But we will. And here's Rachel now.
Yes. Thank you, Rachel. Okay. And thank you, Jack.
No. Good. Perfect. Great. Now here's the interview. And scene. That picture on Instagram that Jamie posted of Miles looks exactly like you. It's really
Which
cute.
One?
He's just like sitting under a couch cushion. Yeah. Just like.
Yeah. Yeah, he does look just like me.
That's a cute one.
Thank you. By extension, you're saying that I'm cute, so.
Yeah, I'm realizing that I've said that, and I'm wondering if there's any way I could walk that back. Unfortunately, we don't have time. Rachel has entered the waiting room for the meeting. So
great.
We're going to admit her now. Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. You're not quarantined together?
No, Jack lives in Austin, and I live in Brooklyn, unfortunately.
So you're kind of always quarantined separately.
Yeah. Right before you got on, Jack was talking about how he saw a picture of my one-year-old son. And said that he looks just like me and that he's very cute. And can we get you to arbitrate something for
us? Yeah, I'm trying to walk it back because I'm worried that...
Is Jack saying that I'm cute?
Yeah.
I think Jack is saying that you were probably a cute baby.
I don't want to have said that either. but thank you for arbitrating it. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm a new fan.
We're new fans as well. First of all, am I pronouncing your name? Is it Schuchert?
Schuchert.
Okay, so we have been pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah.
I looked it up on a pronunciation site today, and it said to pronounce it Schuchert, even though we've been saying Schuchert. Yeah. And then the weird thing that happened was it gave me two options, one for just the name Schuchert and one for Rachel Schuchert. So you're like famous enough to just be
I'm
on a pronunciation site.
I'm genuinely amazed by that. You know, it's funny. I think that like the actual German pronunciation of it is like Schuchert.
Okay.
That's sort of how my grandfather would say it, but then it got more anglicized as time went on.
Okay, so we've all been pronouncing it
wrong. Yeah, we're fine. Like, like I don't want it to rhyme with like fuckert.
That's very sensible. Well, welcome, and thank you for talking to us. I just finished watching, about 10 minutes ago, The Truth About Stacy.
Yeah, me too.
And I have wiped the tears from my eyes. I did physically cry actual tears, somewhat unexpectedly.
even though you know the truth about Stacy all too well.
It was the speech to the parents that really got me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's such a weird state to be in at 4 p.m. in the afternoon on a Wednesday. And I had to explain to my wife why I was crying in the living room.
Your wife, who I think I know. I think I know your wife from New York.
Yes, Jamie Green.
Yes. Yes.
I think you guys are friends on Twitter.
I think she was involved in the theater or like in Bars Nova?
She was involved in the theater. I think a theater company called MCC.
Mm.
But I can't quite remember.
That's 100% how I know her from long ago.
Okay. Yeah. That was ages ago.
Yeah.
Well, now we can say to her that we know you. So she's got nothing on us anymore.
I think we're also Facebook friends, actually. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Right. She won't even accept my friend request.
I didn't know that you were married to her until I listened to like a little bit of the podcast that you guys did of the first episode. Where you mentioned that I was Twitter friends with her, and then I realized that, like, oh, he's married to Jamie Green.
Yeah. Yep, I'm married to her. Yep. I know her pretty well.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a little bit of our show. We appreciate it. We hope we're doing your show justice. We were obviously nervous about the TV series, but so far, we've only watched 3 episodes, so I don't want to make any comments about the entire run, but I think we really loved it.
Yeah. So far it's really great. Yeah.
So far it's good.
You guys are scholars, so
I would describe myself as the foremost Babysitters Club scholar in the world.
I really do think I probably know more about the Babysitters Club than most people, like short of like maybe Anna Martin, and I am to understand possibly Mark Feuerstein, who apparently knows quite a bit about the Babysitters Club as well.
Yeah, Mark Feuerstein's daughters were very big fans of the Babysitters Club. Part of why he was willing to be involved.
That's awesome. We love Watson. We've got a whole segment.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Watson.
I feel like in the books, Watson never really popped for me. We just know that he's bald and he's rich, which feel pejorative in today's climate. Both of those things.
Right. Well, and he has a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a heart attack.
I guess I'll admit now we've been emailing a little bit with Mark, and I did warn him that Watson has a heart attack in the books. So I just wanted him to prepare, like make good character choices, you know?
Yeah, we don't want you to have to deal with the fallout from that, because I'm sure he's going to be worried that you're going to kill off his character.
I don't think we're going to kill off his character.
How about a spinoff?
Watson in Heaven. Like
it's just called.
Like The Good Place, but starring Watson Brewer. And then Mark Evan Jackson can just be in it also.
am I right that you have a human child as well?
I do have a human child. Yes. He's 3.
He's 3. Okay. Mine is just approaching 3.
Oh, it's a good age. Something happens when you turn 3 and suddenly they become like really nice and fun.
He's nice and fun. He did say to me yesterday, Sarah was like, do you want to say I love you to Dada? And he was like, but I don't love him. I was like, fair enough, dude. Make your own choices.
My son, Theo is his name, and he's kind of coming out of it now, but he was in a phase a few weeks ago where I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate the baby. Like, my sister just had a baby, like, and he just came like, I hate baby Amelia. I hate her.
That's enough. Nice. I can't wait for my son to start expressing his opinions like that. Yeah. Right now, he just walks around the house and screams. Which is, like, fun in its own way, but...
They're all going a little bit crazy. Like, he was so done with, like, the pacifiers and stuff like that, and all of a sudden he wants them again, and I feel like all of our toilet, potty training progress has really kind of unraveled. It's a tough time to be the parent of a young child.
My child is named Cyril. He, pretty much every day watches a documentary about the oceans, creatures of the ocean. This is like our, you know, like stay at home.
No, Cleo is also obsessed with creatures of the oceans, but he likes that show Octonauts.
We don't know that one.
Show that it's like a cartoon. It's sort of British and they're like animals that live in the octopod, which is sort of a like submarine under the sea. And they have adventures. There's 8 of them, but they also like learn things about the ocean. So, like, he learns about, like, poison dart frogs and, like, you know, mangrove forests and things like that.
It's dangerous. Teaching him how to make poison darts.
No, it's a poison frog, and their skin is poisonous, so you can't touch them.
Okay. Well, then that's good, actually, because now he knows not to touch those frogs if he ever comes across
them. I know, if he's ever, like, in the South American jungle. comes across it. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we really don't. I feel like more at any time, like, that all, anything seems possible more than in a survival situation.
It could be day after tomorrow, or the day after.
Yeah.
And, like... North America freezes over and we have to head south, and all of a sudden poison dart frogs are going to be a real problem for all
haunting
of us.
These are all story ideas for you. These are all free story ideas.
Mallory and the haunted poison dart frog.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I'd like to do today, Rachel, with your permission. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask you a few questions about the Babysitter's Club, and then maybe spend the bottom half of the interview helping you. To kind of just in a free form brainstorm, come up with characters that Tanner and I can play when you write us into the show.
For season two.
For season two. I know that that's probably not the main thing that you're working on at the moment. So we want to just be of service in any way.
Yeah. And we do want to encourage you to prioritize it, obviously. I know it's not the main thing you're working on, but it should be.
It's so important, though, for actors and writers to be collaborative, because I feel like you really bring yourselves to the role. So I'm really excited to hear your input and just kind of how you identify.
Yeah. Actors, writers, and podcasters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
I don't think either of us would consider ourselves actors or writers.
Well, in this
context,
you would be an actor.
Yeah.
And then before we get too far into it, do you prefer to be called Rachel, or do you prefer to be called the Hand of God?
Rachel is fine.
Okay, that's really nice. We weren't
because
sure.
We do like to give all the ghostwriters from the Babysitter's Club epithets. So
yep,
it's really your preference.
Our casting director let me know.
Oh, good. It sounds like we should be talking to your casting director as well. You can probably connect us after this once we've kind of figured out the roles.
Yeah.
What is your personal relationship to the Babysitter's Club? Did you also read them as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Or did you have to like do a crash course?
Yeah. No, I was very obsessed with them as a kid. I got the first one I ever read was The Ghost at Dawn's House. Number 9, which I got as like a birthday present, just sort of randomly from like someone in my class. And I wasn't that interested in it. It didn't seem that promising to me. I wasn't really interested in ghosts or babysitting. But I like to read. So one day I just read it, you know, and I was immediately hooked. And then I realized, oh, this is like number 9 of a series. There's more of these. And I started reading them. And then it seemed like suddenly all at once, like everybody in my class was also reading them sort of simultaneously. I don't know how we all kind of like found them at the same time, but we suddenly were. And we would get very intense about them. We would like trade them. We'd talk about our favorite characters. We would sort of sometimes play this like embarrassing game where we would like play the roles of the characters like on the playground.
And you're going to do that all the time. There's nothing embarrassing.
Nothing
about
to be embarrassed. We did it just that last week.
I know. And I feel like all the other girls in my class, we were always starting to try. We would try to start different clubs, sort of inspired by the babysitting club. Babysitter's Club. Like sometimes they were babysitting adjacent, and sometimes they weren't. But a lot of different club structures. And I, when it was summer, I remember I tried to have like a play group for like the neighborhood kids, the way that they did. I like talked my mother, so I was like charging $3 for them to come, and I would like provide a snack, and then I was just trying to teach them choreography mostly in the basement. I remember trying to teach them the choreography from the Michael Jackson Bad video and then other choreography to like Broadway shows and things like that. And then I would make my sister and the neighbor boy, Paul, who ultimately became our only client at the playgroup. I made them do a circus act where they played chimps named Simone and Garcia, and they rode like their tricycles around in a circle, like around cones in our back patio, and they had to keep their cheeks puffed out like monkeys the entire time. And if they hit their cheeks, I would hit them with a stick.
Except for the hitting with the stick part, that does sound very Babysitter's Club anthem.
Yeah, that's a literal baby parade that you've done.
Yeah, that's a baby parade.
It was. I want to be clear about the stick so that it doesn't get into like.
We're gonna do a cold open with that anecdote.
A gentle reminder, sort of tap with the stick.
I'm going to pitch this to Slate.
So I love the books, and I was very obsessed about them for like 2 years, you know, and then I kind of aged out of them and started reading other things. And by the time like the TV show was, well, I didn't really ever see the TV show because that was definitely came out at the sort of height of my obsession, but we didn't have HBO, so I didn't ever see it. And then when the movie came out, I had already sort of aged out of the books a little bit. So My Babysitter's Club was very much the books.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people attach to the TV show theme.
To me, that always seemed like this sort of, you know, ersatz kind of Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
The song is good, I guess. The song is cute. I definitely get
that. We've watched a couple episodes of that HBO show, and it, I don't know, it pales in comparison to Anne's work.
The level of detail is not there.
Yeah.
The world building. And I feel like HBO had not really gotten into their attention to world building in the way they would later with something like Game of Thrones, which I think is sort of, you know, a good comparison to Stony Brook in terms of its completeness.
You're already pitching a Babysitter's Club reboot that's grittier, and it's on HBO.
A grittier sort of Game of Thrones meets the We really get into like the families in Stamford that we only.
Netflix is going to be so mad at you.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a very complete world. And then when we started talking about, you know, I knew that this project was. Oh God. Okay.
Is the child screaming?
Is it okay? Can we like pause it for a second?
Of course. Of course. I totally understand.
Sit with him to nap for like 2 seconds.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Tanner, you and I are going to keep talking.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
We can talk about anything.
How do you think this is going?
I think pretty good so far.
Okay.
I feel comfortable.
You're not worried about like how aggressive you're being or anything?
Now I actually am now. I hadn't previously been.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not. I don't
You're
think
not.
You are.
Okay.
No. I'm definitely not. But I don't think you are. But like,
okay.
You know, in case that's something you want to keep in the back of your mind.
Okay, no, it is now something that's going to be
just the aggression
lodged. Yeah, yeah, okay, and you think I should tone it down?
No, I'm not saying anything at all.
Turn it up. You think it's not enough?
Oh, I wouldn't turn it up. I wouldn't turn it up.
Okay.
No.
Because I'm not used to interviewing, and I do want to.
Yeah, no, it shows. It shows.
Get to the main point here, which is our roles on the show.
Yes. Oh, there goes my boy.
Is that your boy? We should bring all our kids in and just have them talk to each other.
My boy's pre-verbal.
Here's what we should say and let's practice this, Tanner. What we should say to Rachel, and practice it so it sounds like seamless and is like easy and a fun joke, and we can workshop it. Is when she comes back, one of us can be like, "Hey, I guess this is a literal Babysitter's Club now."
Okay.
Because we're all like looking after our babies in one way or another. What do you think? Do you want? You'll say it. Let's practice it. What's a good way of like?
Okay. So she comes back and it's like, oh, is your son okay? Do you want to be Rachel?
You want to be her? Yeah, he's fine. So he just likes me to sing to him a little bit while he's going to sleep.
Guess this is a literal Babysitter's Club, hey? We were workshopping a joke to say when you came back.
Yeah, you kind of caught us in the middle of it. I was playing the part of you, Rachel. So
what do I say?
You were
because I think all three of our kids are making noises at the moment.
Yeah. It happens.
Boys, it's three boys we're talking about.
Three boys, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a sadness that you may experience with your child if you haven't already. Tanner and I bought some Babysitter's Club dolls to play with on the podcast a little while back, like original ones from like the 80s. And when we were done with them, I proudly gave them to Cyril as a gift, and he immediately said, "I don't want to play with dolls." And I was just like, "Where did you learn that? Like, what?"
Yeah,
weird, right? Like my son doesn't want a haircut. He says he wants his hair to be like really long. Right now, he's just in a whole thing.
Okay.
I think what it is, honestly, is he's just become incredibly resistant to change of any kind because this whole world has been upended by a global pandemic.
That's understandable. Yeah. Fair enough.
That makes sense.
He doesn't want you to cut his fingernails. He doesn't want you to cut his hair. He doesn't want you to change the sheets. Like, he's turning into Howard Hughes.
He's like the aviator. Yeah.
In order to control his environment. But But sometimes I say things like, oh, well, then I'll put a ribbon in your hair. I'll put a bow in your hair because it's so long and pretty. And then he like loses his mind. He's like, no, no, I hate ribbons and bows. Ribbons and bows. I'm like, I don't know where this comes from.
My kid will pretty much put up with anything. He's still small enough.
What's your little boy's name?
His name is Miles.
Miles from Tomorrowland.
Well, there are some who say that he's named Miles after Ellen Miles, the Babysitter's Club ghostwriter.
Fellow ghostwriter.
Fellow ghostwriter. One of the Pantheon, along with you.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Yeah.
About. There's a whole bunch of us. I don't know any of them except for David Levithan.
Leviathan? Yeah.
That's a good epithet for him.
What's he like in real life? As scary as we describe him in our podcast?
No, he's not scary, but he definitely is like the keeper of knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, and he secretes them in the form of pearls. Yeah, we've talked about this
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we know show. All this stuff. Yeah. This
he is lives in the basement of Scholastic. Yeah. He's a giant monster. Yeah.
There's nothing he doesn't know about Scholastic.
So we've heard. What I would love to do is help you kind of workshop just a character. Obviously, this is just going to be a sketch. The characters that you make for us is all your work. We're not going to.
Yep.
We just want to kind of weigh in. We'll maybe start with existing characters in
the
series.
I guess we should stop really quickly and say that Rachel is the writer and showrunner of The Babysitter's Club.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Maybe we didn't describe that to our audience at the top of the segment. But
that's great, Tanner. Thanks for taking the helm there.
So you should. So you're really,
really can do it for us.
Can help us.
I can make it happen. It's absolutely
secure these roles. Yeah.
So let me throw some names out. We again, neither of us have seen the whole series. So if there are already characters, I guess you can just replace the actors. It happens all the time. They did it.
Yes,
at Roseanne.
Yeah,
so, Mr. Prezioso.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because Jenny Prezioso is not quite as she is in the books in this world. So you should watch the next episode and then, but you'd be wonderful.
Thank you.
I don't believe he's a speaking role.
That's okay. That's better. Neither of us are very good.
He just needs to be watching boys basketball on television.
The emergency room, you know, with his wife in a dither.
Oh, right. Marianne saves the day. That's a Prezioso heavy.
And
book.
He's maybe distracted. There's boys basketball on the TV and the hospital.
Well,
and he's
please tell me you included the boys basketball.
We actually, is it okay to say spoilers? I don't want to spoil things.
No, that's fine. All of our listeners have watched it like five times over.
The boys basketball is now a matinee of My Fair Lady in the City.
That's fine, too.
I'll tell you what. We had to figure out a way that they would have their phones off and be unreachable. And if you're at basketball, you probably have your phone on because it's like not. But if you're actually at like a play, you have to turn it off, right?
That's so smart.
As Marianne says in her message to the Preziosos, you're probably not answering because My Fair Lady has a long first act, which it does.
I love the attention to detail. That's so. Did you have that clear phone that yourself as a kid? Because I had it in my room as a teen.
I desperately coveted that phone. And I never had it. I had I had like a very basic phone when they finally let me. And I never had my own line. There was just like a phone jack in my room, so they let me have an extension. But it was not that phone. But I was always trying to figure out ways to get that phone. Like, do you remember how in comic books they used to have that like where you could sell some mysterious thing and get points and get a prize?
Mm-hmm.
The phone. Yeah. I remember the phone. I never got to do it, but because you needed like $15 to like put yourself in business, and I didn't have the $15.
Or like use your camel cash, like frantically smoking like packs of cigarettes.
I definitely had some camel cash. just put away for a rainy day. But I never got that phone though.
I had it. I think it just magically appeared in my room one day. I have no. Deeply remember the phone, but I have no recollection of like the campaign to my parents to get it for me. It just like magically appeared one day.
That makes sense. I don't remember ever seeing it in like a store or anything like that. It would just sometimes be in other people's bedrooms. And I was like, that's the phone.
Yeah. And then, cool. I think I just saw it on TV and movies.
Yeah. And then the earlier version of the phone was, do you remember that Snoopy phone where like Snoopy was like standing holding the receiver?
Totally.
A statue of Snoopy with like a phone receiver attached to it.
For sure.
I guess we're all the same.
Can I pitch a character to be written into season 2 that I'll maybe play?
Yeah.
And I'm happy to audition. Of course, happy to audition.
Well, you know, yeah, I know.
I'm not saying you have to hand me the role.
We're putting ourselves on tape now anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, just don't put us against each other, please. No. That's what our
I don't think, Jack, I don't think you have the chops to play this character. I think I have
the breadth.
Depth, the breadth to really expand into this role. Peter Black, he's a fellow... sort of 13-year-old boy with the girls.
Sometimes love interest, right?
Yes, we can eliminate that aspect of it if I'm playing the role. But
together, right? I feel like they go to dances together sometimes when, like,
friends. Yeah,
friends. Like, you know, because I feel like Sam Thomas is always this sort of unreachable goal, right?
Yeah, I just think I can really pull off P-Black. I'm cool. People like me a lot. Like class president sort of vibes.
Glasses as a choice for Pete Black, like these kind of.
I can lose the glasses. I'll lose.
No,
the glasses.
I like them.
Oh wow! Oh, you like them, Tanner? Put them back
Don't
on.
Be so desperate, Tanner.
I can shave too. I haven't shaved in a couple days, so I think I can really, you know, I can pull off 13-year-old boy if I have to. I am a 36-year-old man.
The history of Pete Black is that he's actually an undercover journalist pretending to be a 13-year-old boy.
Ooh, I love that, and that's a great character choice for me, and I can really use that.
No, it's very like Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi.
That's. I love this. I think this is great. I really think we're getting somewhere. What about? I guess the do you have a trip man?
Truth about Pete. We don't have the trip man yet. I don't know if we're gonna do the trip man, but that's an interesting thought.
Okay, I can't play golf very well, but I'm not sure.
I can.
You can play Don's dad's boyfriend, because on our show, Don's dad is gay. There's no
Carol. Okay, Jack Schaefer.
Jack Schaefer. Yeah, there's no Carol. There's Gus.
Okay, I could be a Gus. All right, I like this.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry, do you already have Jack Schaefer cast?
No, not really. We have...
Okay, so Jack is Jack and I'm Gus.
Yes. But we don't see a lot of him in this first season, because it's just like she FaceTimes with him extremely briefly, but like that could be anybody.
yeah.
Not to give a hard time to the lovely actor that played him, but you know.
Could be anyone.
Disneyland daddy. That's got Jack Shepherd. Oh, I can't even like separate the two.
They go to Disneyland a lot.
I would too, honestly, if I lived in Palo City, California.
I mean, I live in Los Angeles, and I have been to Disneyland one time since my son was born. And we went like 3 weeks before like the world shut down. We went like February 28th.
Was it a nightmare with a 2.5-year-old? I feel like it's
no. Actually, it was fucking great. It was great.
Really,
we had the best time. We were also happy. It feels like it was like before the war now, you know. You're looking back on like, you know, the stories of like people before, you know, they invaded Poland. That's what it feels like. Happy skiing in the Alps, no sense of the horrors.
Oh yeah. singing to their house full of children.
We have daycare back briefly, but it's gonna go away again, so we're like, we're ready for just like, we have like a rigid schedule between my wife and me for just like who's working and who's not at any given minute of the day while we're watching our fairly nice child.
Babysitter's Club. It's an irony that this issue has come out at a time when babysitters have never seemed more out of reach.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Tanner and I are reading the Friends Forever series at the moment. We paused it because you, I guess, decided to release the show 10 weeks too early for us, but that's all right.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's honestly fine.
I never read the Friends Forever ones, I have to say.
The thing we miss is what we call the good, clean babysitting fun.
Yeah.
And that's like, and there's like double nostalgia for that now, because it's like, I have nostalgia for when we could get a babysitter to have a good, clean babysitting fun with our child while we went for dinner.
Telephone.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, it sounds like a lot of the characters that we pitched already are covered, or you've cast people. So we have some original IP.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we could pitch your way.
All right, now
and just see, want, maybe there's a fit on the show.
Like before we start this, I just need like a waiver that like if these characters.
Yeah. If you use any of these characters, and we'll speed this up in post, so it's like very quick, like in commercials.
Yeah.
But I'll just say it really quickly.
if Babysitter's Club TV show, Walden Media, Scholastic,
or any associated properties,
uses the ideas pitched by Tanner Greenring or Jack Shepard in an interview with Rachel Schuchert, Tanner and Deck get 100% of profits from the show and executive producer credit.
Great.
That's great. That sounded really good. That's just boilerplate stuff. You don't need to worry about it.
So I guess the first character we have is he's kind of a business tycoon in Stony Brook, Connecticut. Eventually, he goes on to buy the Babysitter's Club and incorporate it into his umbrella company called Hardbody Industries. And his name is Goliath Hardbody. And I am happy to play the Goliath Hardbody part if you need someone for that part. Because he's got like a lot of business savvy, a lot of business know-how. He like can coach the girls on how to sort of like a lot like Watson does in the first episode.
A lot like Watson does. Do you feel like is he sort of like a Jack Donaghy, or is he like a, you know, or is he sort of more of like an Elon Musk?
He's a little bit of both. He's definitely got the like confidence of a Jack Donaghy, but he definitely smokes weed like Elon Musk. I would say physically, he's sort of Daniel Craig-ish.
See, yeah, yes, that works. So you could really fill the role perfectly.
Well, I see why you're picking yourself for the role. No, because that's exactly what you look like. I mean, yeah. The audience knows that.
Tanner
right?
will shave yeah. his head for the role too, if need be.
Yeah. So that's and I can send you my character Bible on Goliath Hardbody if you want to incorporate him into the show.
Great. Excellent.
The only other idea that I have at the moment, and again, we can just spitball and we can talk afterwards. You can have your people talk to our people, whatever works best for you, is I don't know if you have a boo-boo yet, but I could do like mocap kind of.
Oh, like Andy Serkis?
Because I want to be in one of those just like full body like blue suits with like a tennis ball on my head.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think we haven't cast Boo Boo yet. Okay. But what if you become Boo Boo's human form after Morbid Destiny?
See, that's perfect. See, this is perfect. I really like that.
Morbid Destiny's curse is lifted. And it turns out Boo Boo was a 42-year-old man this entire time.
Oh, yes. But have you forgotten how to speak? Do you feel like you still communicate in cat? And then, like, maybe Jessie's secret language is that she has to teach you how to speak like a human.
This is very good. This is perfect. And it's good for me because I'm not great at memorizing lines. I should say that again. And that's going to be in my writer, is no memorizing of lines.
Well, that's good, because someone will have to translate for you who can memorize. Like, only Karen can understand you.
That would be great. And frankly, I would love to see Karen and Jack on screen together.
She's magical, that little girl.
She's wonderful. Amazing. We've only seen her in one episode so far, but we really loved her.
Sophia, she's like a strange, like, genius prodigy.
We read the Little Sister books for our Patreon show. We have not one, but two Babysitter's Club podcasts. Surprise. Yeah.
You carved out a niche for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we really do love her character in those books as well.
Oh, yeah. She's fun. My favorite thing, I remember being very taken with Karen's storyline in this Babysitters on Board, Super Special Number One, which I'm sure you're familiar with, where she sort of wanders away on the cruise ship and like gets a manicure and gets a coat.
Oh, yeah.
And charges everything to her room.
Yeah. Well, Watson can afford it.
Being really inspired by that as a child.
It's amazing. Karen is a wonderful character. Reading a book a week about her has been a little bit much, too much Karen.
A lot of Karen.
Yeah.
But she's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners? We have a Facebook group and people just really, really love the Netflix show. So you're doing something right.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to know that. It was stressful, you know. Right, being a showrunner is a really stressful job. I don't know. People know that, and especially with, you know, like an adaptation that everybody has had in their head since their childhood. It's like
crazy. Yeah, it's like worse than Marvel. Yeah, you know, people like people could get really mad if you messed it up.
Yeah,
like us. So I'm
yeah, we reserve the right to. We haven't yet, but again, only three episodes we've watched so far. So
I'm curious to see what you think of them. I feel like we have, you know, deviations. Things.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. This is so fun.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Oh, wow.
Wow, what a great chat we just had.
What an interview we just had with Rachel. Woo!
Did you bring up the Space Marines thing? I can't even remember. I hope so. It's such a blur now because I was just her magnificence basically pushed me to the ground with the force of her glory.
Yeah, like a shatter spell in D&D.
And I remember nothing.
Yeah. Rachel, thank you for coming on the show. It was actually very fun and great to have you. We already said that to her.
We said that. Yeah. We will have said that to her. You were doing this
Baby wrong Nation.
Again. Yeah.
Rachel was great. Please do.
They've listened to it.
Listen to every single podcast she comes on, appears on, and do
watch every show
that she's the showrunner of.
We're delighted to have her on. She said we can call her Rachel, which is
nice. I'm
going to
call her Rachel from now on. Maybe Rach.
Well, we should have asked.
Let's ask her when we interview her.
Okay. The interview's already happened. What I'd like to remind everyone is that they can subscribe to our Patreon. Anyone can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's a whole other show where we talk about the Little Sister books and we sing the descriptions. It's very good. For just $5 a month, you can help to support our show, keep us going, and get a whole other show every week.
Buy our dang merch. bit.ly/BSCC merch.
Yep, we got shirts, we got
totes, we have shirts, we have stickers, we have anything you want. We don't sell masks. Someone recently was like, will you sell masks?
Like a fucking great idea, honestly. Fantastic idea. We're going to think about it. Buy our merch. Please do rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. And join the growing army that is the Baby Nation over at our Baby Nation Facebook group. We would like to thank Rachel Shukert, the Hand of God, yes, for joining us this week and being
so rich
as to do a nice interview. I would like to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. I would like to say that this week we did read a video book, and that video book was called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show, Season 1, Episode 3, The Truth About Stacy. Next week, we're going to be reading and perusing and drowning ourselves in the delightful pages of a video book called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show, Season 1, Episode 4, Marianne Saves the Day. All that remains is for me to say that my name has been this week Jack Alexander Shepard.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
I'm taking this moment to eat a cough drop.
That's perfect.
Because Rachel's out of the room. Maybe it'll help grease the pipes a little bit. Make me a little more baritone for when Rachel comes back.
Child screaming in the background is just during a podcast record is so deeply, profoundly relatable to me. I guess you don't. Your child is like a perfect angel, so you don't have to worry about that.
He's sort of cooing delightfully in the other room because I think Jamie's giving him dinner right now. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't really scream in anger or terror.
Okay.
Are those the two modes that your boy gets most upset in?
I would describe it more as like angst. Just like a deep existential void that comes out in the form of the scream.
What does he have to be angsty about? He's a fucking baby.
At the moment, he's not a baby. He's a big boy. At the moment, it's snakes. We think and talk a lot about snakes. I bought him this 5-foot snake.
Okay.
It's a soft toy. And I asked him what he wanted to call it, and he insists on calling it Uncle Matt, which is pretty scary.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.